this is an important thing for me, like to how can we become energized and activated as viewers and as political subjects. We are all political subjects and we are citizens of this world.
Hi and welcome to the podcast of Fototreff Berlin. In the second talk of Fototreff 40 on March 16, 2024, curator Natasha Cristia from Barcelona presented her book exhibition project War at a Distance in conversation with photographer Alfonso Moral of Antibooks. Fototreff Berlin is supported by book and offset printer Henemann, D-Light Rental Services, the Mara and Holger Kassens Stiftung, the Stiftung Westöstliche Begegnung and MPB, the largest global platform to buy, sell and trade used photo and video kit.
Next to me are Natasha Cristia and Alfonso Moral. Let me briefly introduce our guests as we don't have another moderator. Natasha Cristia is a curator, writer, and educator based in Barcelona with a background in archaeology, art history, and film. She's worked a lot in the field of photo books, but also curated exhibitions for various festivals and museums. In Berlin, we have the chance right now to see her photo book exhibition, War at a Distance, previously shown at the SCAM Festival Tarragona, Spain. Alfonso Moral began working as a photojournalist for the newspaper in his hometown of Valladolid. Did I say it right? No. Yes. Soon after, he moved on to cover global events in the Middle East and Central Asia after 9/11, contributing to international magazines and agencies. After living in Beirut and Tunis, he moved to Berlin in 2017, where he founded the publishing house Antibooks. We invited Natasha and Alfonso to speak about their work from the point of departure being Natasha's exhibition, War at a Distance. Welcome.
You can hear me, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon or good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for having us here. Zara Lena and Fototreff team. Well, it feels awkward having to speak after the two previous guests who have this first-hand experience of war. I guess we are the ones with the ticket back home. I wanted to mention the photo book reading room that is in show the Salon Moritzplatz until tomorrow. We're at a distance, so that was a project I did a couple of years ago for a small photography festival in Tarragona. It's a Roman colony, ancient Roman colony next to Barcelona in Spain. So it was a response to the general theme of the festivals that was war. The festival is SCAN, Tarragona Photography Festival, and the exhibition was shown at the Museum of Modern Art of Tarragona. We'd like to mention it because thanks to them the books are here. The books are part of the library of the museum. The generic theme of the festival was war, and at some point for me it became very, very important to address the issue from a very specific point of view. And back then, of course, in summer 2022, the war in Ukraine had started, so we thought that the worst had happened. No? And now, a couple of years later, the selection of the 21 books is frozen. You can visit it if you like tomorrow, but and yet we have more things happening on our planet, and sense the feeling that war is closer and closer, is even stronger in us. And I think there was something interesting that Sebastian mentioned in the previous talk, that we think that we are something separate, from the war. but we actually war ourselves. We carry war as a transgenerational trauma, and the war takes place in our continent, but also not only in our continent. Before coming here, before introducing also you, Alfonso, I just wanted to remind everyone, I took a brief look and a quick look to the conflicts, the ongoing non-conflicts, armed conflicts, and the alleged genocides that are taking place in the year 2024 in our planet. And I would really like to mention this list. We have the Russian invasion of Ukraine. We have wars and conflicts in Afghanistan, Ethiopia, Iraq, Yemen, Syria, Somalia, Libya, the Central African Republic, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Myanmar, Mali, Colombia, and of course Armenia, Azerbaijan. Okay, and in a way, you know, the war has always been happening, but still there is a sense of that war is closer to our privileged continent in this moment, and this is what we would like to address with Alfonso. Alfonso, thank you for being with us today, because actually Alfonso Moral, you will present your work, and you will, you know, as a photographer and a publisher. He was the last. Your publication was the last one that I integrated in the selection, because I didn't know about your work. So for me it was very, very important, since Alfonso is in Berlin, to be able to engage in conversation with him, you know, through his point of view, which I think is a very, very honest point of view about the subjects we're going to deal tomorrow, today. So I would like to ask for the first subject. You know, we thought of addressing, and for me is, who are we to be here today to talk to you about war? For me, it feels very, very awkward being here. The main question in me is, and I will pass on to you, Alfonso, and you can talk to us about your experience, is who are we to talk about war? Alfonso has experienced it, me never. I have experienced it, as most of you, as a consumer of images of war, of narratives, through also transgenerational traumas, the history of my country. I come from Griechenland, I come from Greece. I was born 2 years after the invasion of the Turkish invasion in Cyprus. We witnessed very closely the war in the Balkans in the 90s, but this is what we have. But we have experienced the war, and I have experienced the war. I will talk about myself always as a viewer on a second level, in books, in films, but sometimes also in the bodies of people around us, and also the war in us. No, so for me it is really important to pose this question. No? What gives me the right to be here to talk about war? And in this sense, I think we will introduce our critical stance also towards photography and the use of images and our role in the production of images today, but also dissemination of images, because even if I'm not a photographer myself, I'm a curator, I share images, so even my grandmother is sharing images. So all of us have a very, very active role today, a much more active role, you know, in this game, the visual game of war, and the visual of culture of war that is shaping our lives. Even thinking even of the video games and young children playing, or the games that children play, you know, that are connected with war. So Alfonso, I would like to pass on this question to you. Who are we to be here and to talk about war?
Thank you, Natasha. Well, first of all, I want to thank Phototref, Sara, also you, Natasha, to give me the opportunity to be here today in this holy space that we are sharing now. Yeah, it is a very, very interesting question. Well, I am here basically because I am part of the photo exhibition that you created yesterday. I was really amazed to see amazing books, and I must say that I feel a bit small among all these views of war, no? Because at the end, I think war is a very personal story where everyone can experience in a different way. So I am here to try to explain my experience. Where I must say that the last time I covered a conflict was maybe 10 years ago, but that helps me to evolve as a photographer in my work. The question for me, more than what I'm doing here, is a question that I have made myself many times, is what I am doing there, no? When I'm photographing a conflict, for example, what I am doing in Libya, what I'm doing in Afghanistan, what I'm doing in such places, no? Where it seems that there are places that nobody wants to go, no? Unless you are from there. I think it was very interesting to listen to Julia, and I have something, she says something very interesting, which is, a local photographer is not a war photographer, no, when a war is happening, but he's a photographer. And this is something that for me, I have not no experience, I haven't experienced, because I have been there, I go there. And really I cannot imagine how is the real feeling of her, for example, being in a country that you have your family, you have your city, everything is destroyed. As her in other conflicts, for example, I cannot understand, or it's very difficult for me to put in the position of a photographer in Gaza now, that they are trapped. Now is the conflict with more photographers that has died. So how someone can see, even if they make pictures, they have millions of followers in Instagram, how they feel these people, no, from inside. So this is something that I have never experienced. For me, the question, I think I have never find the answer of what I am doing here. And it's not only one answer for me. I have been, first, I think my curiosity, the feeling of adventure, to know, makes you make these trips. But then slowly, slowly, you realize that the things are much more complicated and much more deep. You start having feelings of all kinds. I have, of course, feelings of fear, sadness, stress. I cry, but also I have had happy moments. I have go through great experiences with friendship, help, with other people that I have met. I have created a very high level of empathy with the people I am photographing, because many times they are offering you, even they can risk their lives for you. So yeah, still I am wondering what I was doing there, no? So yeah, I think that for me the question is that complex that it doesn't have any answer yet.
And it's interesting what you mentioned, Alfonso, when we were talking the other day now about what we were talking, we're going to mention today, the subjects. In a way, you describe the way I feel. In this talk, Alfonso is, let's say, the photographer, and I am the spectator, maybe the consumer of your images. For me right now, and maybe it's a collective feeling, there is a sense of impotence right now. As a professional, also as a curator, I'm not so sure how to work with images and visual narratives. I don't know how to position myself towards, you know, what is happening in the world through the medium of photography. So, and for me, the sense of impotence is also connected with a series of questions. As a viewer of images, how to look at images, what to do with them, what's the further line that divides this online activism from real life activism. But also a very prominent question, important question for me is how am I projecting two images. What is the meaning? What meanings do we embed on images? And how do we tackle the war that lies inside us? There's many, many cases, and I've seen in people recently that this personal conflict is expressed, you know, through the way they respond to images. And the title of the exhibition was part of the War at a Distance. It's not an original title, as it is mentioned. It comes from the work of Haroun Farrokhi. And I was really inspired what he said, that in front of each image, we should ask ourselves not only what I said before, but actually how the image looks at us, how the image thinks us, and how it touches us at the same time. So there is a big involvement of us, you know, of the me and I, in the way we receive images, in the meaning we embed on them, and a huge responsibility, I guess, in the way we you know, we confront these images of war.
Yeah, it is a very interesting question. Also for me, not like only a viewer of images, but also as a producer of images. No, I am someone that can analyze probably, if we are talking now about the conflict photography, although I have never considered myself a conflict photographer or war photographer, but having been there in the other side, let's say, I can analyze these images maybe in another perspective. But for me, the point that, I think I can contribute more is which images I choose or what I decide to photograph. Because at the end, as a photographer also, you have to take positions on these situations. And as the name of the exhibition, What at the Distance, this distance that is not only physical distance that is created by the distance of we are here, a war is there, but also when you are there, you have certain distance. No, at this distance comes from logistic things like the language that you don't know, but also like a distance of what to photograph or what the people are expecting me to photograph and what I want to photograph. Because conflict photography, as I understand this kind of photography, is very stereotype, has a lot of stereotypes. No, like you arrive to a conflict area and you more or less know the picture that you need to do. But this is really the work that you want to do. So in my case, for example, I have here a couple of samples. If you don't mind, I will show you some pictures. This approach or this decision for me of, we can go to. This approach or this use of images has been changing on my own career. No, I would like to. The book that I presented in the exhibition, in the photo exhibition Zero, is a book that talks about the revolution in Libya and the revolution in Syria through at the point of view of the conflict, but try to be more a personal experience there, because all this work starts like an assignment. Many times, I don't think that there is an outsider photographer that will go to a war with any obligation, you choose to go. So this capacity of choosing is very important. When you are in your own country, when you are in a war that's happening in your own territory, you don't choose, but I choose to go. It's not only that I choose to go, I can choose to propose the story to an agency, a media, or in this case, for example, to an organization in Barcelona. No, I propose a war which is I want to cover the tumor in Libya. So I went to the country for one previously, I make the pictures, and then I go with my portfolio, I write a project, and then say, okay, let's go, let's make the pictures. So then I started working as a pure documentary photographer. Like I try to document what I see, as I say, many times with the stereotypes of pictures that we are thinking that we need to tell from there, explosions, injured people, which also for me as a photographer. And this is, for example, something that I cannot see clear the division between the outsider or the local. It's very tough to confront. Confronted to these images, you are there, so you are seeing in first person what is happening. So it creates a lot of internal conflict. Probably much different to the conflict that a local person has, that maybe even they know these people, but for me also has this conflict. But as an assignment, I follow the orders of the assignment, let's say. I follow the structure or the narration that a documentary, typical documentary photographer must do. So this, I'm showing you to transform these pictures in my own pictures. So for this work, as you are seeing, we have a black and white pictures of the situation in Syria, but then I also was working with a medium format camera and trying to focus more on the people, no, on the faces, and also on the empty spaces. So this part of the work that also is part of this assignment of the organization in Barcelona, the International Institute for Peace, makes me start thinking on, okay, we make a good project, we are making the exhibition in many places, we made a didactic guide for the high schools especially to show what are the consequences of a conflict, no, in a civil population. So for that part, I was I'm not going to say happy, but satisfied for the work I did.
In which year was that, maybe to contextualize a little bit?
Yeah, this is made by between 2011, when I started working in Libya, until 2013, when I went to, I already was living in Beirut, and I was photographing in Aleppo, in northern Syria. So, as a part of the work in medium format, as you can say here, you can see here, many of you maybe know what is a contact sheet or how is the process of developing analogic photography, but maybe some of you know, so I'm just going to make a brief explanation for all of you to know. The process normally in analogic photography comes from a film that is developed to a contact sheet, which is the developing of the film in the way that I can see the pictures and I can choose which picture I want. No? So I had a lot of material from these two places, which is made by analogic film. Let's say that the natural process of developing this work is to choose, for example, here we have this picture of the bed, and then I will choose one of the pictures, and I will, let's say I make a selection of 50, 60 pictures to create a story. And my goal at the end of this work was to create a photo book. And that, I was thinking on this as my first photo book. But I really didn't feel myself capable of choosing pictures. No, this distance make me feel really like who I am, no? to now choose and tell to the people, to the outsiders, like, as you say, people that will receive these images and people that will perceive these images probably with a lot of stereotypes, destruction, war, death. How can I do this? So at the end for me was a word that allows me to evolve as a photographer and to say, I think that now I don't want to show any picture, I want to show all my work. So this is how the Book Zero arrives, which is only like a compilation of contact sheets, sometimes with pictures, sometimes without pictures, to create another narrative, no? Based basically in my own work, my own experience. Sometimes, to be honest, the develop of the images is straight. I don't make any manipulation, so I don't care if some of the pictures are overexposed, underexposed. What I am care is I want to show all what I do. And this also makes me somehow connect with my own work. And somehow also makes me connect with the viewer in a way that the viewer can see exactly what I see. So yeah, this is what was my contribution on this Book of Zero. That,
And I think that was the reason when I met you at a book fair, art book fair in Barcelona in 2022 in autumn, and I was not familiar with Alfonso's work, and what struck me with the work is precisely this point of view, no, the fact that you. You decide to include everything, and in a way, for me, the blank spaces, you know, in these contact sheets, the images that do not show actually speak more for what is happening, for this subjective experience of this. It's like a sort of disarticulated language, this absurdity also of war or of your personal experience of war, because it. No, maybe, you know, it's not always a dramatic experience, but still, you know, it's this absurdity of experience that is filtered, you know, in the images, right? Like how to see something that you, you know, Walid Rad says, for example, how to talk about or to transmit the experience of the war when you actually have not experienced it, you have not assimilated the experience. So, what is the role of the images, you know, in this, you know, process of experiences of assimilating traumatic experiences or, you know, the war, no, as you know, the inhumanity of war. And I think this is something really, really interesting in this work that connects it also with many other of the books of the selection that employ different strategies of not showing as a response to what is the narratives that are canonized, no, on war. What was the role of this book in your personal in your personal process or awareness as a photographer? Is there a before and after this work?
Definitely. Also, the title of the book, Zero, which implies other concepts within the book, is also like a zero point for me. No, it's like a finally take out the photographer that people are expecting me to be to the photographer that I want to be, and also the photographer that assumes that as an external person that is traveling to other countries to documenting not only situations of conflict but also humanitarian crisis or whatever, is a photographer that always will be the external one. So I can contribute through my own experience rather than try to contribute through pictures that at the end, for example, I remember that in the Libyan conflict, there was a conflict that with many photographers. And for us as a freelance photographers, was a conflict where it was very easy to work because people were helping us a lot. Here I have a colleague that also was with me there, and he can also, I'm sure that he's agreed that for us was very easy to work. So that means that you will have thousands of pictures. So at some point, the problem with the conflict photography is that you can become immune on the pictures because you have many pictures. So you can get this risk, not to say, okay, I have seen the explosion 100 times. I have seen a person die 1 million times. And then you lose this humanization. You make a deshumanization of the pictures. So for me, that was part of a turning point of my career, to say, okay, I don't want to be all the time waiting or searching for this image that has to be the image. I want to explore how I feel on this situation or how really I can contribute to the narration, because of course this book also has a lot of narrative inside. It's only contact sheets, but also I was photographing no pictures when I was living in Beirut, and including these pictures on the contact sheet. So I create a narrative, which is not only I throw the image, but I didn't want to hide anything I did. So yeah, basically for me was the start of a new photographer. I mean, I'm not very old, but since I started, it's been a while, and as well as I have evolved as a person, I have evolved as a photographer. So the things that were interesting for me when I started, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, is not the same thing that are interesting me now. So photography has allowed me to make this progression. No, my second book, Phoenicia, Irrational Catalog, is also part of this new world. Like I've been working in Lebanon for around, I don't know, I make the first trip there in 2005. And then I lived there before coming to Berlin for 5-6 years. So also, yeah, I have here the word. If you want, I can show you a little bit. So I arrived to Lebanon with the stereotypes that everyone has from Middle East, no? Like, we go, we have weapons, we have refugees, we have something that also the media requires. But of course, when I arrived 15, or as I say, in 2005, this is the pictures I wanted to take. But then I have evolved, and then the time has passed, and Lebanon or Beirut has seen me growing. So I start to thinking when I make the photo book on my book in Beirut has to be more about my memories, not about the pictures of Beirut that I consider the best pictures or all the documentary pictures that I have done. So I create a book where for the first time I use archive material, but I use archive material making a selection in a way that the archive material that I use could be also my own material, are my memories. Are that many memories, yeah, you can pass by, that many memories that I lose the track. I don't know which memories are mine or which memories are not mine. And again, I try to express myself through the photography. Of course, some of these images can be, I don't like to make these catalogs or tags of conflict photography, documentary photographer, but some of these pictures can be contextualized also in this kind of photography. But for me, it's my own memory. For example, in Lebanon, I want to point it on this picture, and also about what distance means for an outsider. No, even for me, living in Lebanon for many years, at some point I left, and I came back to Berlin, to the safe place, let's say. And then maybe many of you don't know, but in 2020, 4th of August, a huge explosion, accidental explosion, was not part of any war, destroyed a whole area of Beirut, the area where I was living. I didn't visit Beirut for 2 or 3 years since that happened, but that day I felt an habitant of Mar Mikhail, that quarter that I was living for a long time, in a way that day at night I was watching videos, information, like really, I knew the people that I saw in the images, they were my neighbors, and I was not from there, I was from my comfortable city in Berlin, but that makes me also oblige me to go back to Beirut. So from all the pictures that I could have taken, I just select for the book this one, that is a picture that I found on the ruins for an archive for someone that is not me, but also represents my life there. So yeah, the jump from this picture that we have seen from the documentary photographer I was in Libya or other previous wars that I have been doing in Afghanistan or in other countries has evolved a lot through this personal space, no, where I feel more comfortable to show my own conflict at the end. What can I do? What can other conflicts can I show?
It's interesting what you are pointing, and I think in the previous talk also it was mentioned this separation of us and the other, that is an illusory separation, who is us, who is the other, how do we position ourselves, what kind of decisions we are taking, how we are addressing, you know, the universality actually of the experience and I think this is a big question also when it comes to images, to image production and dissemination, like how from our position, maybe sometimes physical distance, like we are here, we are safe, no? How can we employ this distance or the distance we have with what the images show, the photographs show, how can we employ this distance as an emancipatory tool of, you know, critical thinking, of activism, of reaction, even as Faraki says also of rage and anger, you know, about what is going on in the world and what is not right in the world. So, and with this, I want to ask you, how do you position yourself, you know, towards these cruel images that circulate, you know? And if you have had any experience or decision that you could, you have to take, and especially, you know, this feeling of you know, of saying no to one of these images, because how is it used today?
Okay, I will gladly reply to your question, but I have also a question for you, Natasha, because I am also very curious to know the first opportunity that I have to see the selection of the photo books was yesterday, although you sent me many information and I see the list, but yesterday was the first time that I saw them. And I was really amazed by the selection you did. So my question to you is how you, that as an external viewer, maybe has also like an idea, which, as I say, no, could be much more different than my idea of conflict, how you go to this selection, how you take out books, because I'm supposed that you were going through many, many books, hundreds of books, how you really decide which books you want to take as a book that talks from the world at a distance, no?
Yeah, I mean, okay, it's good, I can reply. Like for me, the distance, trying to think of distance not in a straightforward way, I mean, there is this distance of empathy, of us, and as subjects who have not had the direct experience of war and the ones who are going through this experience. I think it's like when you talk to a woman, for example, about abortion, and you haven't, as a woman, also had an abortion, you cannot know. You do not know how to it is. But also the distance that the image generates. For me, it's very, very important. This opaque surface of the images that the face is sometimes meaning, you know, that sometimes for me, photographic images are, as you said, you know, they're you know, they have this anesthetizing moment, like you were, effect, like you were looking at images, and at some point, it's all the same, like the explosions. Sometimes they make it so direct and straightforward and easy that take from us away the you know, the actual need or the actual, you know, awareness that we need to think about what, not about what the image shows, but actually about what is, what has led to the creation or to the existence or to the creation of this image. And if we think the existence of this image is the world that is taking place, but the creation is also maybe some mass media which want to satisfy this voyeuristic, you know, need, I know, to, I need to see it in order to understand it. Do we actually see, you know, we actually need to see to understand? Can we actually see an image without actually, can we actually see without seeing an image? You know, I think this is the important, this is the important thing for me, like to, how can we become energized and activated as viewers and as political subjects? We are all political subjects and we are citizens of this world. So that was the first premise, and I think in the world of photography in the last 2 decades, the photo book, the publications have been a very, very active vehicle to allowing people like you, who have maybe worked for organization or mainstream media, to talk, tell the story from another point of view. And I think it's really, really, really important. And all the books that are included in the exhibition, they are made by people with honesty, like they are committed people, you know? And they address what you discussed before, the own, with honesty, maybe their own experience as photographers, soldiers, or the backstage of war, the theater of war. We have a title in the exhibition. Or even the aftermath of war, because you can also talk about war referring to the long-term consequences, like there's Dragana Djuricic's You, the Lost Country, that talks about Yugoslavia and the remains of this war 2 decades or 3 decades later. So they require for us to request for us to see without actually having to see in this, you know, like the scopic regime that asks us to devour images, to see images. So that was a little bit the premise, and I think there are many, many works also next to people like you before, like the two exponents before, two young photographers and people who are committed and who are on the front line. This is very, very important. Because but we need to keep a balance between what is happening and what will become a document in the future, and, you know, to new ways of putting our minds in motion. This is my
very
reply.
Interesting. Linked to what you are saying now, and if I understood well the question you made me on how I react, because also now I am more a viewer than a producer, no, of this of such images. So if you ask me how I react to these images, to the cruel images, to the images that are more stereotypes, if I understood well, so I would say that even though we have an over use and over production of images, they are still important. I mean, if we can see through images, like we can see now, for example, the death of thousands of civilians in the massacre in Gaza, or if we have seen how people die in Sudan or in other conflicts, or as we were watching the pictures of Julia in Ukraine, we need these pictures. Because at the end, photography, or this kind of photography, is also a proof that something has happened. Regardless of the power of the image, also like a tool of lies, because also a photography can manipulate a lot, but these photographs are the proof that something is going on, that a crime, a genocide, an injustice, whatever is injustice we are talking about, is going on. So I think these images are important. Maybe what I miss more is how we learn or how we face these images from a critical point of view, how we can say or decide which images are okay and which images maybe are manipulating the reality. But as an image itself, I think it's still necessary. Although now I see these images as a viewer, not as a producer.
Yeah, you're completely right. And for me, it's also, I think their work is also work that images work also not, they don't have an immediate effect. They work on long term, like as documents. And at the same time, I think it is really, really interesting to think of images as, when we look at images, to try to think about the narratives that they create. Like when we look at an image, we actually try to look at the image and see what it shows, but we can also think about the context, the narratives that reinforce the system behind the narratives, you know, and also position ourselves with honesty, because I don't know if this has happened to you, but in my case is sometimes it's true that as outsiders, because I'm an outsider at least, I see these images and I am there, but at the same time I see them with relief because I'm not there, you know. And I think acknowledging this is very, very important, you know, this connection, you know, that we have, that it kind of it's created and it breaks at the same time, you know, with images, the way they are, you know, the effect they have on us. I think we haven't studied enough the ways images can be used, or the effects they can have upon us, the way I see it.
Yeah, that's also why the exhibition of the photo books from yesterday is super interesting, no? Because it focuses a little bit on this, how different narratives, different approaches to war give us much more information and much more tools to analyze the war, not only from the point of view of the mass media, of the pictures on the newspapers, but also with wars that the very personal experiences on war that really creates more education on images, which I think in some way that everyone can analyze, because image is not like a language, not that we need to learn a language. Everyone can see an image, but yeah, sometimes we don't understand the image, no, even if we see. So yeah, I think the exhibition that what I feel from yesterday was this, no?
You're my agent today. I think, and maybe we can open it to people and to, you know, you can ask questions, is that I would say that, as Didier Huberman says, that to gain knowledge from images is to take a position. We need to look at images, but put ourselves in them. And put ourselves in them means start to regain awareness also of what we are projecting onto images. Our ideological sets of, you know, prejudice, ideas, traumas, collective histories. And there is a lot to be done, I think, on this, in a world that is, we are so saturated. I mean, the way we communicate, there is so much noise, so it's even harder today to reach that and to be more awake, or, you know, aware of what we are saying. So, yes, maybe.
Is it on?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Natasha and Alfonso, for this conversation. For any of you who haven't seen the exhibition, it's still up. It's along am Moritzplatz tomorrow from 2 till 6. And Natasha is giving a tour on the selected publications at 4 o'clock, right? Yes. I will give the microphone to any of you who has still questions. I'm very loud. Sorry. This is intimidating, maybe. Yeah, it was a long night. Maybe... Okay, thank you all. This was great. Yes, come on.
Hi, thank you very much for your talk. And I would like to ask you, as you both told it, like you are from different countries, like come to the war zone or conflict, and you portray, document that. And I wanted to ask you about the importance of the language in this case, because, I mean, like, if you speak like mother tongue in the country, yeah, it's like very easy to get in contact. Yeah, I understand that you work like with people probably who translate, but how important is for you actually to understand people, and does language actually also make that kind of distance? Yeah, so it's like a question in general about the importance of the language.
Yeah, it's a very interesting question. I'm totally agree with you. Actually, I think one of the things that for me makes me go far from the documentary photography outside my environment is this, that although you don't need maybe, I also work as a documentary filmmaker, so when you try to make an interview with a person in another language, obviously you need a translator, but you are missing something in between, no? Because you don't have a direct communication. So that also is a huge gap on what you want to document, but also you can also make stories even if you don't have this approach of the language, another kind of stories. But of course this gap I have filled it, and probably what makes me or what has made me go far from the documentary photography on photojournalists is this lack of communication. Although I always have been working with translators, also there is a non-verbal communication many times, no, with people that you see how they show to you friendship or how you can connect with them. And many times in photography also we have the possibility of making the picture that also talks from themselves. But of course it's a very huge gap. That's why I day by day thinking more that the work of the photographers of the same country, let's say for example Ukraine or so, especially in countries that you have the two options, no? That you can have international or outsiders and local people. There are other cases, for example, that you cannot. Now in Gaza, Egypt and the governments of Egypt and Israel, they don't allow international press. So even if you want, you cannot go there. But in the case you can go, maybe you have also to see what you can contribute. But yeah, the gap is will be always there. This is probably for me the most frustrated part of that work on the field.
And I wanted to ask you, because a very interesting question. Sometimes distance can also be interesting, right? Because it allows you like a critical, you know, position, which is a little bit different than the one who is like from inside, no?
Totally, totally agree. And although I think that as much time as you spend with I don't know, I'm going to try to use a sample, a general sample. If you are, for example, documenting a conflict between two sides and you are able to go to both sides, of course you are more objective than one that can only be in one side. But this empathy, this human time that you are going to spend with them also are going to making you also take position on the story. So I think that and this is also important to get empathy, not to be one that is analyzing only things from outside. If there is something that is unfair, is unfair, whatever or whoever does. So, but yeah, it's very important also from a journalistic point of view to have this neutral. I don't think that maybe completely neutrality is possible, but yeah, as much as it's possible, this is a very good point.
The third position.
Yeah, as an outsider, maybe we start with the third position, and sometimes we move from the third position to another side position. This is another topic to talk, but yeah, this is very interesting also.
Thank you, Natasha. Thank you, Alfonso. And thank you all for coming tonight. Thank you.